Everybody, how's everybody doing tonight? Good, good, good. Good to see everybody. Hope everybody's been having a good week. And it's starting to feel like summertime now. The rise in temperatures, and I took all my landscaping stuff home that I had here on Sunday and did a little yard work on yesterday, and I tell you, it got hot out there. It got hot. Direct sunlight will make things hot. But good to have the Nettles back with us tonight. And you guys were out of town last week, I think, or last weekend. And had a good trip. Good, good. Where was it y'all went? Brunswick, yes, yes. Yeah, I got some family that lives in Brunswick. I do. Yeah, yeah. Well, good to have you back, and just good to be here tonight. We'll go ahead and jump right into things as we always do on Wednesday nights. Just pray for the young people as they're downstairs in their classes. Pray for the teachers. And just a brief reminder about outreach just coming up Saturday at 10 o'clock. We'll meet in the fellowship hall for prayer, and we'll go back out again across the street. And I would say finish up the neighborhood, but the neighborhood's so big, at least we can make another dent, at least, in the neighborhood. And so remember that. And also Sunday night we're going to be downstairs in the fellowship hall as we do every last Sunday night of the month. And normally the church provides the food and all, but we're just asking if everyone would bring a dish of some kind, a finger food, just a dessert, chicken fingers, you know, things like that, something to drink, all kind of just pitch in. And on top of our last Sunday night fellowship that we do, it's Memorial Day weekend. So we think that it'd be a good time to just celebrate that. And, of course, we'll have a small devotion. And I think we're going to have some special singing down there on Sunday night as well. At least we're going to try to. And so just remember that, if you would, to bring a dish of some kind for Sunday night. Let's remember Brother Trell Norton. Reached out to me this week, and he wanted me to add Bill Zimmerman, a friend of his, I guess it is, who has cancer. And so I said that we would remember him in prayer. And then I have someone else here. Just give me one little second, if you don't mind. Also, prayer request from Brother David Henderson in the back. Peggy Taylor, this is the grandmother of a lady that he is working for, I guess, at her house, something like that, doing some work for her. She told him this morning that she was dying, or he got word that the lady was dying, and it was told him by someone else. But And so he wanted me to add her to the prayer list. And so please remember this lady, Peggy Taylor. Not sure what the medical situation is. She just is not well. So remember that, if you would. Also remember Diane Ely. Not really sure about her back surgery day, but it will be in June, we think. So remember that. Remember our children's home and the staff there, house parents, everybody in leadership there. Remember them. James and Shirley Townsend, continue to remember them. Can't wait to see the Townsends back in church. I know they haven't been doing good. I know Miss Shirley has been sick for some time, but we love you guys and can't wait to see you soon. So we are certainly praying for you. And remember Claudia Darby, her health, Brother Harold Dolph and his health, Leonard and Dolores Palmer. Let's remember them and their health. Connie Norton, which is Trail's wife. We mentioned Diane, but Randy Ely as well, their family, the Daleys, the Ashworths, Jimmy and Jenny Clinton, the McCrickers, Joyce Manning, those are all shut-ins. James Tolan Brown and the Marines, and Kevin Brook, which is home now during the summertime, but he is at Champion Christian College. And I do want to say, again, congratulations to all of our graduates, and Christian and Chrissy and a little Charlie. I know that Grace Christian Academy had middle school and high school graduation and awards given out this week, and so congrats to them and everybody who's graduated. Congrats. just wanted to say that publicly tonight. All right, we'll give way. Maybe someone has a prayer request or a praise or something they want to make mention of tonight. Hassan? Ooh, I will. I'm your prayer buddy on that one. I was there last Monday myself. Yeah. Surprisingly, it went well. At the end of the root canal, I told the doctor it didn't hurt that bad, and she said, well, root canals get a bad rap. And I said, well, they do, but they still hurt. they do hurt. About 3 or 4 years ago, I had an abscess, and I had to wait until the weekend. Had to call the doctor in, and my goodness, I don't wish that pain on nobody. Nobody. So this time I jumped ahead of it. You got to take care of it before it started hurting really bad. But we'll be praying for you, son. Are you? Okay. You'll do fine. Just tell them to numb you up real good. Anybody else? Yes. Yes. All right. Let's remember Don Nettles' sister who lost her husband in prayer. Marianne? Yes. Wow. Yeah. Let's please remember this request tonight. This couple here. Anyone else? All right. Well, again, it's good to be here tonight, and let's all come and have a time of prayer together, all that would, and then Brother Jeff will have something for us on the guitar.
Because He Lives. This is a Bill Gaither song. How many of you know this one? I think everybody knows this one. I'm going back into the day here for a little while, pull up some songs that were real well known when Sharon and I were dating. So, and there it is. God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus, He came to love, heal and forgive, He lived and died, to buy my pardon, and it be great as it to prove my Jesus lives, because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives, all fear is gone, because I know. Just because He lives, how sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He brings, but greater still the calm assurance this child can say on certain days, because He lives, because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives, all fear is gone. And I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living, just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life final war with pain, and then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He lives, because He I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, 'cause I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living, just because He lives.
Alrighty. I don't know what tomorrow holds.
I know who holds tomorrow. And that's the Lord. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. We still experience fear from time to time, don't we? We get anxious, but at the end of the day, we know that the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. We shall not be in want. We shall not be lacking anything. God is our shepherd. He is our provider. The Lord is. Thank you, Brother Jeff, for that tonight. We're going to be in the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 3 tonight. The Gospel of John, chapter number 3. And I'm going to read verse number 1 through 3. Another Bible doctrine tonight we're going to look at. And we, of course, this past Sunday morning, we mentioned our graduation message. And we were in John 15. Speaking about some things there. And then, of course, Sunday night we talked about the Christian mind. And so tonight we're going to look into a Bible doctrine, and I'm going to make it as plain and as simple as I possibly can. And I think it'll be an encouragement to us tonight. I do want to bow for a word of prayer. And then I'll begin reading verse number 1 of John chapter number 3. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the good, the bad, the ugly, everything in between. We don't know what holds tomorrow or what's in tomorrow, but we know that you hold tomorrow. And so, Lord, we rest in your sufficiency tonight. God, help my speech be plain, be easy to be understood. Holy Spirit, take control of my thoughts, my mind, all things, God. And I pray you'll communicate it to the hearts of your people, so that they will be encouraged tonight. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. John chapter number 3, verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's reading the Gospel of John, chapter number 3, verse number 1 through 3. This was a conversation with a religious man named Nicodemus. And he speaks to Jesus, and Jesus teaches the necessity of the new birth here. Notice again verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Tonight I want to talk to you about the doctrine of regeneration. The doctrine of regeneration. Now, the English word regeneration is of Latin origin, and it means born again. If you look up this word, these words, born again here, in a Bible dictionary, you'll find that it means regeneration. It means born a second time. It means born again. It also means generated over again. I wanted to be sure what generated means, and so I looked up the word generated. Generated means cause something to arise or come about. I think about, and I was thinking about today, the several times in my lifetime, my driving experiences where my car died. And I had to get jumped off. And so we would hook the cables up to the car that's working, the car that has the power, the car that is operating, and hook it up to my dead car, my dead battery. And that car would be turned on and let it idle for a few minutes. It'd give it some voltage going and running there. And then I would turn the switch over and it would crank up. It has been generated or regenerated. It has come to life. And in so many ways, that's the story of us. Those of us who have been saved, born again, we have been regenerated. We have, the Lord has caused us to arise or come about. And so tonight, that's what I want to talk about. What actually happened when we got saved? How did our life change? Why do we do what we do now? All of this is wrapped up in this study, the doctrine of regeneration. Again, the word regeneration It means born again, born a second time, or generated over again. And so here in John chapter number 3, we're going to be looking at some of these verses and verses beyond verse number 3. And we'll see that regeneration is established here or explained in these verses. And so tonight I got 2 points. The first point is the teachings of Jesus on regeneration out of John 3. And then the teachings of the apostles on regeneration out of the epistles. Under the teaching of Jesus on regeneration in John 3, there's 4 words I want to look at. There's the word heaven, the word water, the word spirit, and the word wind. And these things deal with being born again or regeneration. First, the word heaven. The new birth is necessary for a soul to enter heaven. Look at verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And look at verse number 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so we see here that the new birth, regeneration, being born again a second time, is necessary for a soul to enter heaven. That's what the Bible just said in those 2 verses. Man cannot enter heaven because man is sinful and unfit. That's all of us. We're born sinners, you know that. We drop the ball. We sin daily, whether it's the sin of commission or omission. We're just imperfect people. We are bent to do things wrong. And so because of that, man's sinful nature and man is unfit, he must be born again in order to go to heaven. He was conceived in sin and born a sinner. Now, I want to read you a verse here. Just stay where you're at. I'll turn here for the sake of time. But in Psalm 51, notice what David says. Or listen, Psalm 51 verse 5. David says this about being born into sin. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That doesn't mean that she was partaking in some sin when he was conceived, but it meant that she was a sinner, therefore he was a sinner. In sin, as a sinner, did my mother conceive me. And so we're all sinners, as the Bible says, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A man must be born again because he is born wrong the first time. In our physical birth, we are born a sinner. And so tonight we see that first, the new birth is necessary for a soul to enter heaven when it comes to regeneration. And that's the word heaven. Number 2 tonight, in verse number 5, there's the word water as it pertains to regeneration or being born again. What does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says in verse number 5, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water. Of water. Now, our Church of Christ friends, many will say this has reference to the baptistry. They must be born of water. But that's not what this is teaching, and we're going to bring that out. So what is he teaching? He says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit. So he differentiates. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So when I say man here, Jesus says man, except a man be born of water, gender neutral, means all people, both men and women. In the context of this entire passage, Jesus compares the physical birth of a man to the spiritual birth. Notice verse number 6, he uses statements like, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So he is differentiating the physical and the spiritual here. So the water baptism has nothing to do with the spiritual as a means of salvation, but it does have to do with the physical being born. What do you mean physical being born? Well, I think it goes really without saying, when a woman is pregnant and right before the baby comes, what happens? The water breaks. And so Jesus here is differentiating a physical birth and that of a spiritual birth. And so we know when the mother's the mother's womb has liquid in it, and it breaks before the baby comes. And so this definitely refers to a physical birth. Again, he says in verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit." And so in order for a person to be born spiritually, he must be born physically. And so man is born physically, and so therefore he needs to be born spiritually, being born a second time. Verse 6 again, he's just differentiating. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." Natural birth, water birth, flesh. "And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Spiritual birth, new birth, second birth, regeneration. And so that's what he's getting at here. And so in order to go to heaven, a man has to be born first physically, and then he must be born again spiritually. Others have said that the water here is not so much in baptism as it is a picture of the Word of God. Now, while it is true that the Word of God is symbolized as water that cleanses the soul, of course, the context of the passage in this chapter, these verses certainly contrast not the Word of God here, but the physical birth compared to the spiritual birth. But you'll find many places in the Bible where water is a picture of the Word of God. And so that takes care of two words tonight. The word heaven, the word water, as it pertains to regeneration or the new birth. Now, then there's the word spirit, the word spirit. A man must also be born of the Spirit. Look at verse 5 again. "Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." And so a man must also be born of the Spirit. It is the Holy Ghost that convicts, that convinces our hearts that we're lost and need to be saved, and therefore we get born again when we accept Jesus. It's the Holy Ghost who convicts the sinner, the lost person, and births him into the family of God. Ephesians says, I believe it is, that there is one faith, one Lord, one baptism, and that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which we are baptized into the family of God the moment, by the Holy Ghost, the moment that we get saved. And we won't chase no rabbits here, but other denominations have different feelings on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and a second touch and things like that. We won't go there. They believe what they believe. We believe what we believe. And we believe that we were baptized into the family of God by the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost baptism. All right. And so a man must also be born of the Spirit. It is the Holy Ghost who convicts the lost person and births him into God's family. Titus chapter number 3 and verse number 5. Go ahead and turn there for a moment. We haven't turned nowhere yet together. Titus 3, 5. I'm in Timothy. Better get to Titus. Titus 3, 5 says this, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." So that eliminates water baptism and other means of salvation outside of God's, it being God's work. "But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." And so Paul speaks of the washing of regeneration and a renewing of the Holy Ghost. We have been made new. We have been washed. We have been renewed. We have been born again, regenerated, and it was by God's mercy and the Holy Ghost it's been done. What a blessing tonight that God is in the renovation business. He knows how to renew. He knows how to renovate. You ever seen those renovation shows? In fact, the word here in Titus 3:5, the word renovation or regeneration, he says, by the washing of regeneration, it means rebirth, but also it means spiritual renovation. Renovation. What's the show? I'm trying to think of the show we watched. I used to watch it actually a long time ago, more so than now. Hometown? Is that it? Ben and Aaron, hometown over there in Mississippi. Man, they're flipping that town. They really are. Going in there and just renovating house after house after house after house. They'll have this house that looks, I mean, there's another show called Zombie House Flippers. Okay? It looks like a corpse, this house does. You know, like it looks dead, it looks rotten. It's there's nothing that can save this house. But they go in there and they start tearing stuff up. They start bringing in new material, building and renovating. And then, of course, when the buyer comes out to see the finished product, they're all excited and everything at the new house. In like manner, that's what happens to us when we get saved. The Lord, He regenerates us. He renovates us. He renews our mind. He transforms our life. You know, there's an initial renovation at salvation, the moment we get saved, but then there's a continual renovation through our life process. God's still working on this fella right here. How about y'all? Each and every day, God is a working on me. And I know He's working on you because we're here together wanting help from God. and so we see that there. There is no salvation apart from the wooing and drawing power of the Holy Ghost. And so that's what we see back in our text verse, back in John chapter number 3, verse number 5. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So there must be a spiritual birth. And so that's the third word, spirit. Now there's a fourth word. I really like this one. It's the word wind. Wind. In verse number 8, look at verse number 8 if you would. The working of the Spirit is like the blowing of the wind. And of course, this has part in being born again as well and seeing the effects of someone that's been born again. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, everybody be very quiet. Listen. Y'all hear something? No, not my stomach growling. Y'all hear that? It's the air conditioner. What's it blowing out? Anybody know? How y'all know it's blowing out air? Feels good here tonight, doesn't it? It's blowing out cool air. How do we know that? We can't see it, but we sure can feel it, can't we? We hear it. We feel it. Can't see it, but we see the effects of it working. And so Jesus is telling this to Nicodemus. He's trying to understand all these things. Verse 7 says, marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. You know, Nicodemus, he's all confused, trying to figure things out. And Lord, how can I be born again and out of my mother's womb and all of those things? And he says, listen, Nicodemus, it's like the wind. You can't see it, but you can feel it and you can hear it. You see the effects of it. It's hard to understand the supernatural works of God, and it's hard to explain God in His full essence, isn't it? God is a spirit, And those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Jesus is the essence of God. Jesus is God. Jesus in us, there's the essence of God, and it's seen in love, joy, peace, patience, the fruits of the Spirit. That's because that's the essence of God. So we were talking about the fruits of the Spirit Sunday night, I believe, or Sunday morning rather. And so it's hard, though, it's hard tonight to understand the supernatural works of God, and it's hard to explain God in His full essence. I know how to tell someone who's lost how to be saved, but I can't really explain how God can transform a wrecked and ruined life. God saved me on November 19th, 2002. And all I know is the condition of my heart. I was separated from Him. I was lost. I knew if I died, I'd go to hell. All I knew was I wanted to be saved, that if nothing ever changed in my life, at least I go to heaven when I die. But lo and behold, the Lord has taken me on a journey since I've been saved. It hasn't been an easy ride, but it has been an amazing adventure. It has been a faith ride. I haven't been perfect, but God has been my God, and He has been transforming my life since salvation. And I can't explain how all the times that I tried to change. I mean, I tried to turn over a new leaf and not accept Jesus. I wanted to do everything I could without involving God in my life. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to do none of those things. And so I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried. And then that faithful night that I got saved, my life changed. My life changed. And I can't explain how that my attempts didn't change, but one prayer from my heart, meaning business with God, He forever changed my life. It's hard to explain that. It's also hard to explain how a black cow can eat green grass and have white milk. That's also hard to explain. Think about it. How in the world does these things happen in nature? How do they happen in the spiritual realm? I don't know how they happen. I just know that the Spirit of God has place in salvation, and he draws the lost person to salvation, and the moment they accept Jesus, their life is regenerated. They've been made alive. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's probably my favorite verse, and it has been since I got saved. And so we're looking at the subject of regeneration. We're looking at wind here. I believe God created everything we see out of nothing, but yet I can't fully explain how He did it. Me and Brother Randy, or actually Brother Randy brought it up. We're talking about Genesis 1:1 before church, and in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I can't fully explain how He did that. The only thing we know is in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. You can't explain it, you just know He did it. The same is true with recreation or regeneration. I know God can save, and of course I feel His joy. You do too. You feel His peace. I feel His peace. But just how He does it, I do not know. We're not going to turn there, but in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, on the day of Pentecost, again, we're talking about wind here. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit is spoken of as a rushing mighty wind. A rushing mighty wind. And so wind has place here and is symbolic to the new birth. I want you to turn for a moment, if you would, or listen along to Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. Ecclesiastes 11. I want you to listen to this in verse number 5. Ecclesiastes 11, verse number 5. We're talking about the wind. We can't see it, but we can feel it. We're talking about God, how He saves. We don't know how He really does all of His work, but we see the effects of it. Listen to this in Ecclesiastes 11:5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor, I love this, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. How in the world can God mold and fashion a baby together? You know, sometimes it really blows me away. I guess I think about this because of what I do every single morning. I go to the mirror, I wear contacts or eyeglasses. And so I take my contacts out every night and I put them in every morning. And I've been doing that since I was 14 years old, 14 or 15. I'm 42. That's a lot of times. I learned the hard way, though, because I used to not take them out and sleep in them all the time. One time I slept with my contacts in for a year, and I had two eye infections that passed the color of red and went to green. So I learned my lesson. But I go and put them contacts in, and I sometimes it almost creeps me out. Sometimes I'm looking in that mirror, my eye, and I do the other eye, and I'm like, whoa. I mean, have you ever looked at your eyes in a mirror really close? You're like, then you close your eyes, you open them up, and your pupils like dilate, go in and out. Am I just the weirdest bird around, or does anybody else get caught up with that? I'm like, and then, you know, leaving the room, you're looking like that, and your eyes follow you around. How in the world does God make an eyeball? Think about it. I mean, the different colors and, you know, the sight and all of that. It's amazing. And then you throw arms in the equation. You put those eyes into a head. Put that head on the body. Y'all know I like doing sound effects. I can't help it. You stick them legs in there and spin her around, and she looks good. He's good. It's a work of art, work of God. And this baby, it grows, and what is it, three trimesters in a pregnancy? Is that it? For some reason, I always thought there was four. I guess four seasons, four quarters, you know, the game. But there's three trimesters, and 3 months apart, 3, 6, 9 months. In 9 months, God can fashion a human life. Different colors, different genders, two, of course, male or female. And the Lord can do all these things. That's amazing to me. And so Solomon here says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Think about this. What's going on in your life right now that you're praying about, that's bothering you, or you're concerned about? Think about it this way. God is putting something together in your life in similar fashion as He is a baby in the womb. We don't know how He does it. We don't know every intricate detail, but we know He does it. And God is working in your life. God is working in my life. I don't know what He's doing. There's some things that I want to get ironed out in my life, in my family's life. Got some concerns over here. Got some concerns over there. Things I'm dealing with every day. I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I do know that God is at work in it. We don't know the way of the Spirit or how the bones grow in the womb of her with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. You know what? These are very good verses. I do want to back up, read verse 4 while we're here. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. He's building up verse number 5. He says, the person that walks out in the morning and sees those clouds, oh, it's going to rain today. I can't be sowing. I can't work today. I can't sow no seed today because rain's coming. See, man is always trying to figure things out. Man is always trying to call the shots, you see. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And so verse 5 says, we don't know how God works, same way He puts together a baby in the womb. God is working things out beyond our mind and comprehension. Verse 6 says this, because of God working in all things, in the morning, sow thy seed. I don't care if there's a cloud in the sky or not. I don't care how it looks or not. God can dissipate that cloud. God can move that storm. You wake up in the morning and you sow that seed because God is at work in various ways. In the morning, sow thy seed. And in the evening, withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Wake up in the morning and sow your seed. God wants to see the effort. You sowed the seed here, guess what? There may not be a crop come up there. There may be a crop come up over here. There may be a crop come up over here. There may be a crop come up over here and over here. What he's saying is, God wants to see the effort. When you wake up, no matter what circumstances look like, keep going. Because God's going to bless the work of your hand. In the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not thine hand. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. What a blessing tonight when it comes to nature and how God works in nature. And so back to John chapter number 3. He's talking about wind here. Wind. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So I can't just tell you specifically how God changed my life, and I'm sure you can't tell me specifically how God changed your life. You just know that you accepted Him, and He's been changing your life ever since. And so praise the Lord for that. And so there's the word wind. So we talked about heaven, water, spirit, wind, all concerning regeneration or being born again. And again, the title tonight is The Doctrine of Regeneration. A little side note before we move on. Regeneration is the opposite of reformation. Regeneration is the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, while reformation is the human effort of lost people. Regeneration is an inward change, while reformation is outward works. Man is not saved by outward works, but by the transforming power of regeneration. You know, we depend on the Lord for salvation. Lord, I come to you. I repent of my sin. I turn to you for salvation. All right, He saves us. Faith and repentance, we're saved. But even after we're saved, there's many Christians along the journey that try to grow and mature in the Lord. And a lot of times they do it without abiding in Him. They try to do it without including Him. They try to kick their bad habits in their own efforts without Him. They try to, even as a Christian, turn over a new leaf so that they won't do things that isn't pleasing to the Lord anymore. And why can't they do them? Because they're trying to reform. They're trying to master that within their own self and abilities. We have to recognize that we can't change without the help of God. Now, there's moments in life where, in times of history, where people change without the help of God, but even then, it's God enabling them. He reigns on the just and the unjust. And so even as Christians, when there's a hurt, a habit, a hang-up, something like that in our life, we have to lean upon the Lord and allow Him to change us by the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us. And so we see the teachings of Jesus on regeneration out of John 3. But secondly, I want us to look at the teachings of the apostles on regeneration. Ephesians 2, verse number 1. Ephesians 2, verse number 1. Listen to this. All right, the Apostle Paul. Paul speaks and spoke on regeneration in several passages. And in verse number 1 of Ephesians 2, he uses the word quickened, which means to make alive. Ephesians 2, 1, and you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Let's keep reading. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil. That's what we talked about Sunday night, the prince of the power of the air. The spirit thou now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, that means plenty and never going to bottom out, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What a blessing. He has quickened us. He has made us alive. He has jumped us off, like the car that was dead on the side of the road. It needed a jump start in so many ways. And so we see Paul use the word quicken, which means to make alive. This is the same concept of being born again. To be born again is to become alive. To be born again is to become alive spiritually. Then we see Paul using the term new creature or a new creation. We read the verse a moment ago, 2 Corinthians 5:17, being a new creature in Christ. It is through regeneration that sinners are transformed into a new creature in Christ Jesus. And of course, we just looked at Titus a moment ago. Paul speaks of the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, Titus 3:5. And so these statements certainly refer to the new birth, and that is some of Paul speaking on regeneration when it comes to the apostles. Let's mention one more. What about not just Paul, but James? James. James 1:18. James 1:18. Listen to this. James speaks of regeneration when he uses the word beget. James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And so he begat us. We were born again. He regenerated us. And so the believer is saved by the word of truth. He says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. And so it's the word of God, the word of truth by which we embrace that makes us saved. The believer is saved by the word of truth. The word beget means to generate, to bring forth, to produce. It speaks of being born again. Beget. In the Old Testament, you read, this one begot that one. This one begot that one. He's talking about they're giving birth physically. But here he's talking about giving birth spiritually. We have been begotten. Peter says, unto a lively hope. Again, James says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be regenerated. Thou shalt be born again. It's the word of truth that we embrace. Excuse me. The word begat means to generate, to bring forth, and to produce, and speaks of being born again. So that's what James says. Let me hurry along. And I think I tippy-toed on it just a moment ago, but Peter speaks of this as well, regeneration. Peter spoke of regeneration and taught us that a sinner or a lost person is born again by the incorruptible word of God. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. Almost there. 1 Peter 1:23. Listen to this. being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Corruptible seeds corrupt, they die. The change of seasons, vegetation, plant life, it all dies. It's corruptible. But the Bible is incorruptible. It's known as seed. It's incorruptible. It lives and abides and will live and abide forever. So when we get saved, we digest God's word, his seed. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay, we accept that. We digest that seed, incorruptible seed. And the reason why we're going to live forever is because we have the incorruptible seed, God's word, living and abiding in us. Whenever we die, we're going to be planted. Because we have an incorruptible seed, there's going to be a resurrection one day, and we're going to be rose again. And Paul explains that in, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. He talks about a seed dying and a seed germinating. There must be a death for there to be a crop. In order for there to be a resurrection, there must be a death. And the reason why we're going to be resurrected is because we have incorruptible seed in us. And that's a blessing. I'm trying to think of a statement someone said one time. I can't think of it. He was saying something like, here it is. Cheer up, Christian. You'll soon be dead. I mean, you know, to a lost person, that's terrible. But to a Christian, we're going to live forever. So cheer up, child of God. You'll soon be dead. The word of God lives, Peter says, and abides forever. We digested that. We're going to live forever, if not, definitely not here, but we will there. And Paul in Philippians one time said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I'm in a rock and a hard place. I'm in jail, and part of me wants to die and go on and be with the Lord. But the other side of me, I want to stay here and minister to the saints. He says, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having the desire to depart and be with the Lord. But he says that I'm much more needful here. And so we're in a strait betwixt two tonight. While we're here, we're ministering to one another. But then there's a part of us that wants to go and be there so we can be with the Lord. Am I right about it? Where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more feelings of depression, discouragement, anxiety, fears, and cares. We're in a strait tonight. And at the right time, Jesus will either call us home by way of the grave or he will rapture us out of here. And I want to tell you what, I'm praying for the rapture so we can bypass the graveyard. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go bury no loved ones no more than we have already. And so there's coming a great day. And we see that Peter is talking about this here, about the word of God that is incorruptible seed. All right. It is the gospel message that tells man of his sin and points him to the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. Lost people cannot be saved apart from the word of God. Romans 10:17 says that. We won't turn there. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1:16 says that. It's the power, the dynamite of God unto salvation. You look at a life that God has changed, boom, it's the dynamite of God. God is left and right every day, boom, changing their life, boom, changing their life, boom, boom, boom. The Bible, it's the dynamite, it's the word of God. And the dynamus, I don't know, I believe is the Greek word there. It's the power of God unto salvation is the word of God. And Paul talks about that. And because Paul's life was saved and how God saved him and changed his life and his direction, he says, I am debtor. I'm debtor. And so as much as me is, I am ready to preach the gospel, Paul says. He said a few other things along those lines as well. But this is what Peter's talking about. Peter also spoke of the believer as being begotten again unto a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus. And that is 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and our Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us, birthed us, second birth, spiritual birth, again, unto a lively hope. Listen, you may be here tonight and say, Brother Justin, I'm hopeless. No, you're not. No, you're not. If you're a born-again child of God, you have a lively hope. You have a you have an inheritance waiting on you. You have a lively hope. Those who are lost have a lively hope. They can accept Jesus as their Savior. We as believers have a lively hope, a living hope. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that you still have hope. Again, into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because Jesus got up, we'll get up. We have a living, lively hope. All right. So we see Peter getting along with that. So Peter, the apostle, speaks of being born again, regeneration. But then John does as well. Of course, we were in John just a few moments ago as our original verses. But what about the epistles of John? Let me just give you this, and we'll be through in a couple minutes. The epistles of John. John used a term referring to those that are born again. In his first epistle, he used the term little children. So I'm going to make my way to 1 John. 1 John 2:1. Listen to this. 1 John 2:1 says this. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. My little children. John used the term little children, which means little born ones. Little infants. Young converts. My little children. These things I'll write unto you. You need to know this, being born again, newly born again, that you sin not. And if any man sin, you need to know this. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. An advocate, a counselor for defense, an intercessor, one who pleads another's cause. And, you know, it really took me years to really understand that Jesus is my advocate. Because when I first got saved and I'd make a foolish mistake as a new convert, I'd beat myself up. Oh, no good, dirty. I even told the Lord just to take me home. I'm just a sorry son of his. But as the years rolled by and I groveled in that, I began to understand God doesn't want me beating myself up when I sin. Number one, I don't have a desire to sin anymore. I will still sin. But when I do sin, the Lord wants me to recognize that I'm saved, past, present, future, all my sins are gone. But also, I have an advocate who pleads my case. It's like when Lily was learning how to walk. Feels like all those years ago now. You know, she'll be 17 in September. 2 more years of school left. But I was teaching her how to walk, you know. And many times she'd boop, boop, round her bottom. And actually before she learned how to walk, she used to sit on the kitchen floor and she'd scoot. I said, go ahead, honey, you cleaning them floors real good. Go ahead, scoot, 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 scoot. How would it be, me being her father, if I had her little hands, teach her how to walk, I mean, and she fell and just, you know, fell backwards and started crying, if I just went like, what a sad case. Stay there and learn how to get up. Do you think that'd be a good dad? No, what would I do, though? I'd say, come on, honey, come on, come on, get back up. Come on. If we're going to learn how to walk, you got to get up now, come on. And I'd get her back up, and we'd go again. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He isn't telling us, oh, you sorry, dirty rascal, I can't believe you did that. Stay down. I can't believe I saved you. No. He knew we were going to make a mess of things before he even saved us, and he saved us anyway. So tonight, the Lord is like, get back up, my child of mine. Come on. Let's learn how to do this thing called walking. Come on. Let's walk. Come on. Come on. But you know, and I'm still learning, Brother Jeff, that the Lord doesn't want me to beat myself up. Early on when I thought, well, okay, God, I've sinned. If I get up and not worry about it, that means I'm not sorry. And I want you to know I'm sorry by staying down. Can anybody understand where I'm coming from on that? God knows we're sorry about it. He knows we didn't want to do it, so we don't got nothing to prove to him. He knows it already. But he wants us to get up and go again. And so John is, he says, my little children, my little young ones, my youngins, these things write I unto you that you sin not. Don't sin. But if you do, and when you do, there is an advocate pleading your cause, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2, and he is the propitiation, the appeasing, the atonement for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And so we see John diving deep into it. He's referring to those that are born again, little children, which means little born ones, little infants, and young converts. So I love that there. He also speaks of the believer as presently being a son of God. Chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. We got to read it. This is very helpful. It is to me. Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse 2, beloved, now, right now, not later, not when you deal with your hurt, habit, and hang up, and that's out of your life, but now, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. I know it certainly don't appear what I shall be. I'm a mess. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We are now the sons of God. Not when you get better and do this and do that and achieve this. No, on your worst day, you belong to him. On your best day, you belong to him. So really, walking away from church tonight, knowing no matter how much good I do or bad I do, he loves me, he's my father. I don't want to fall, but if I do, I'm going to get back up and keep walking with him. That ought to be a blessing and put a spring in all of our steps. John talks about all that here. And then John speaks of those that are born of God as being overcomers. Look at chapter 5, verse 4, quickly. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Who's born of God? Those who are saved, those who accept Jesus as their Savior, are born of God. The little children are born of God. We are begotten of God. We are born again. We are regenerated. We accepted Jesus. And the Bible says we overcome the world. We have the ability to be an overcomer tonight because Jesus overcame the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We'll overcome by faith, believing in the Lord. All right, the word born in 1 John 5:4, what I just read to you, for whatsoever is born of God, it means to beget or to be born. So he's speaking of regeneration here. That's the teachings of the apostles of regeneration, John, Peter, James, Paul. Again, we started out in John, the Gospel of John, looking at the teachings of Jesus on regeneration. And again, we're just talking about being born again. We're talking about being changed and what happened, what took place whenever you got saved. I'm glad I'm saved tonight, aren't you? And I'm glad he didn't give up on me and he's still working on me. Paul says this in conclusion tonight, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He will keep working on you and me. Thank God for that. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. Thank you, Lord, for the good teaching spirit here tonight. Thank you for our wonderful church, Lord. It's so good to see everybody again. God, I pray you'll get us all home safely. Help us have just a wonderful night's rest. Help us wake up tomorrow, Lord, just giving everything to you. Thoughts come in, give it to you. Thoughts come in, give it to you. Give it to you, give it to you. Each and every step of the way, Lord, we are overcomers. And so, Lord, help us let those words ring in our ears tomorrow. Help us plan for Sunday. Prepare the spiritual man. Help us come in here, Lord, looking for you to do something great. And bless the outreach on Saturday as well, Lord. We love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Anything, Lee?